Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
I want to play some golf real soon. I'm envious of you that you're going to be able to get out this weekend.
Get dressed, you're playing golf today.
No, I'm not, Grandpa. I'm playing tennis.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
We just want to get out there, man. We'll gamble. We'll be texting each other the scores, and it'll feel good to get out there. It's going to be more for my mental health. I'm anticipating a near triple-digit score. It's embarrassing to admit, but no pull cart, and you got to walk, so I'm going to be carrying my bag for the first time since high school golf. My back is, I don't know, man. I don't know if my abs are up for this, my back, my hamstrings. I am going to be a sore radio host after 18 holes of carrying a bag on the way to 102.
I got my job on the line, and this guy's out having the time of his life. He has every cop in the state watching him, and he's out playing golf. The feds were watching Nicky play golf for so long they ran out of gas.
$100, whoever hits the plant.
I like my carts, and I would like a stereo in the cart, and if Al Chervik wants to bring it, I would give it a try if I were in position to play golf. I don't think the shoulder's going to be ready for 4 weeks. I have not had a follow-up appointment with my orthopedist. I don't think I'm ready to go yet. I think I need some strength training before I give it a full. I can chip and putt, but that's it.
Whoa!
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 It's a lily.
Now that's a shot.
Ball runs like a frightened fawn.
WC Fields.
That thing's still running.
I think I need some strength training, and I had no surgery, so we'll see how this goes. On Sunday, I'm pulling everything extra out of my bag. Like, no 3-iron, no 4-iron. Like, I can take it out. We're bringing 6 golf balls. We're going to make this thing as light as possible.
Yeah, and only 1 cartridge for your pen.
I need this, okay? My wife, my job, my kids, every day is exactly the same. Oh, I go golfing on Sundays. But I hate golf.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Golf courses are over, are open. Normalcy, quarantine over, normalcy has returned, or something like that. I am really excited, Mac, to go golf, even if it's going to be in the most unusual of circumstances.
I'm excited for you. I really am. And, boy, I'm excited. There's so many wonderful things in the opening ceremonies today, and I couldn't help but smile because a month ago I wouldn't have gotten one of the final movie drops in that compilation there, and that's from Old School. And now that I got past the fact that Old School hit too close to home the first time I saw it, because I was on the mend, just as several of our characters are in Old School. I love it, and I get it, and guys who hate to play golf are playing golf at the end of that. They want to join the fraternity. I totally get it now. And who could forget Frank Vincent hitting golf balls at the feds as they were running away in Casino? That is just a delightful scene in that very violent movie that I also have come around to really embracing. And giving things a second and third chance sometimes is a good thing.
It absolutely is. And I don't know how many of us are out there in the mob who are keeping track of these sort of things.
Mob.
But Tanny's consecutive opens with a Sopranos drop or reference streak, it's Ripken-esque. And sometimes he's shoehorning them in. Sometimes they're easy and obvious. I thought yesterday was maybe a bit egregious. Today's worked fairly well, but it doesn't even matter. I want it to never stop. Like, it can be an open that is just like celebrating Shep's birthday, and I want there to be a Sopranos reference in there. Like, just every single day, Tanny, for the rest of time.
I think we can make that work. I will agree, yesterday was a bit egregious. The fact that the open was Kendall Gill talking about Halle Berry's story about almost, you know, asking her out on a date, and I shoehorned a reference to Jason Williams, his former teammate, which had nothing to do with the Halle Berry story, but I just wanted to include Tony Soprano saying, yeah, check guy Williams, you know, just
Williams
for no reason. Yeah,
so perfect. It's when 1.5 seconds are your best friend. That's That's perfect.
It's just the deepest of cuts that I like. I know that I miss a lot of the show within the show stuff that Tanny does when it comes to music, but I think I'm getting all of them when it comes to The Sopranos, and I don't know how many people other people are, but I just want it known publicly that it's noted and I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay.
Such a thing to say.
Did you get Tanny's musical piggyback to the Packers rookie quarterback Love the other day when we came out of a break? I think it was probably Brett Favre talking about his conversation with Aaron Rodgers regarding the draftee, regardless of it. It was about Jordan Love.
Yeah,
did you get that?
No, definitely not.
Okay, that's Zeppelin 2. That's Whole Lot of Love. Want a Whole Lot of Love?
Yeah, see?
Want a Whole Lot of Love? Yeah.
There's layers here. You think this is just nonsense and ish, but
he is all things to all people. He plays to all of us.
That's right. What a good producer does. We sound like Mark Cuban praising Tanny's Open for this long.
Let's get
to the show. My God.
I am in love.
And we will get to that in just 1 second, but I want to throw a bouquet your direction as well, because you have landed the Score Stories guest of all Score Stories guests, Jim McMahon, at 3 o'clock today for the first time that you are talking to him on the air since Mac Yurko and Harry, my first time ever talking to the Punky QB. I, Dan McNeil, very excited for 3 o'clock.
I am too. He's a perfect guest for this kind of a thing, and it has been so long since I've talked to him, and I understand he's feeling okay, so that's good, and he doesn't do a lot of these. I don't even know, Danny, if he's ever been on The Score. I'm not sure if he has. I don't have a memory of him being a guest on my show with Terry between 92 and 99, or Jiggets and me following that, so I don't even know if he's ever been on The Score, but lots of cool stuff to talk with him about, especially given that we're all critiquing and enjoying at the same time the Last Dance documentary on the late 90s Bulls, because he was a precursor to that, and when the Bears were at the height of their powers, 84 through 86, Jordan's first couple years in the NBA. So their circles intersected, both with careers, and they hung out together on occasion. So that's fitting, and something that The Last Dance is all about, which I think the 30 for 30 on the Bears horribly missed, was the dysfunction within. That's the focal point of the Bulls doc. The Bears doc, that omission was horrible. So maybe Jim McMahon today will fill in some of the blanks that weren't covered in that documentary, and we can recant how that group fell apart a little bit and there was a lot of friction. Maybe he won't want to go down that road, but maybe he will, because I promise you, I don't think there's been any love lost over the years between Jimmy Mack and Michael McCaskey. So we'll see if that's okay. Either way, we're going to have fun. I'm excited about it too. Hardest thing for me today was picking which image of him on the internet I wanted to use to promote his appearance online.
Oh,
so
wow.
I found an because there's so many. He's photogenic. I mean, the picture, you Google images for Jim McMahon, and it's tough to pick one, because I mean, even today at 60, he's got an acute case of cool. I mean, he's becoming sports for me like Keith Richards. He just keeps going and going and going, and his face is a roadmap of the NFL.
I am just excited about it. Wherever he wants to go with it. You talk about like conversational on ramps. Like there's 100 of them. So if he is feeling nostalgic, great. If he wants to, you know, sling some arrows, great. If he just wants to tell stories about golfing with Michael Jordan in the late 80s, early 90s, great.
Yeah.
Like I'm here for all of it. And he's lobbied the NFL for many years on their marijuana policy, and it finally changed because he credits it with getting him off of 100 Percocets a month. So
a month? You mean a day? Yeah, 100 a day would be a much. 100 a month? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I was reading that was among his concoction. It was 100 Percocets a month and other opioids, and so he had a problem with that. And so we will see. We'll see where he wants to go. But there's lots to talk about.
Absolutely. And a texter has suggested that McMahon was a guest on the Boers and Bernstein show a couple of times. So okay, I stand correct. Actually, I'm not standing right now. I'm sitting. So I sit corrected. Thank you for the knowledge.
you mentioned that I am falling in love, and I want to fall in love together. You and me and Shep and Tanny and any Bulls fans that are out there, because I've told you that I've been conflicted. It's been weird during these unprecedented, uncertain, extraordinary times to see this franchise that you love and care about and root for undergo change that you've known has been necessary for years and years and years, but not really know that, like, what level of change they were really going under. Like, PAX is still there. How much money are they really going to invest? There aren't games for a long time. So it's been like, okay, like, they hired Karnišovas and he's impressive, but let's see. And okay, like, they're saying they need to modernize the scouting department, but let's see. All right, they want diversity. They hire Mark Eversley, but let's see. And today, the Bulls beat writers, including our own Cody Westerlund, were on an audio-only Zoom call with the new Bulls general manager, Mark Eversley. It lasted nearly 30 minutes. And Joe Cowley, Casey Johnson, Cody Westerlund, all of them, as it's going on, they are just tweeting out quotes, and I'm prepping the show, and so I got Twitter up, and I'm telling you, Mac, every quote was better than the last. And as soon as the conference call was done, Cody Westerlund texted me, and he said, wait until you hear Mark Eversley's Zoom call. It was like he had listened to every Bulls segment you've done for the last 2 years before he made his introductory remarks. So I have not heard this yet.
Yeah.
But I hope that it sounds as good as it reads, because I will admit I'm a little smitten with some of the things that I was reading from the new Bulls number two. And let's just listen to it together and see if it sounds as good as it reads. And let's see if we all fall in love together. Here is new Bulls general manager, Mark Eversley.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Arturs. Thanks, everyone, for joining today. I hope you're safe and healthy during these unprecedented times.
Yeah.
I know this situation is especially challenging for the city of Chicago. My family and I send our best wishes and gratitude to the frontline workers. I am thrilled to join the Chicago Bulls family. Becoming a GM in the NBA is a dream come true. And to be in a leadership position with Arturs for this iconic franchise is an opportunity of a lifetime. We both come from successful programs, and we are going to establish a culture of winning in Chicago. Today's a dream come true for me. I would like to thank Michael Reinsdorf, the Reinsdorf family, and the entire Chicago Bulls organization for this incredible opportunity. Thank you, Arturs. It is a privilege to work with you, and I look forward to your partnership as we enter a new era of Bulls basketball together. To my friends and family in Canada, we've come a long way as a basketball country. Thank you for your outpouring of congratulations this week. I appreciate your support. Everything starts and ends with winning. We need to focus our culture and mindset to be about excellence day in and day out. I'm so excited to start this chapter. So Bulls fans, hear me when I say our ultimate goal is to bring an NBA championship back to the city of Chicago.
Real quick, I mean, you brought up the Nike background, and that's been referenced a lot, and I just know just from dealing with Nike guys, that's a grind and that's a hustle. How important was that time for you as far as building relationships with guys, building relationships with their camps, their family, age, all that kind of stuff?
Simply put, it was critical. I'm still extremely close to a lot of the guys at Nike today. You know, really, that really taught me, you know, the true value of connecting the dots is what we used to say is, you know, relationships move the needle in this business, and it really starts at the grassroots. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to work at Nike at a time when, you know, LeBron James and players like that were coming up through the system. And, you know, it really taught me the value of relationships, you know, and again, it taught me the value of a brand, really. You know, Nike's one of the most powerful brands in the world. And, you know, to Arturis's story from, you know, last Saturday night, you know, back then the Bulls were one of the strongest brands in the NBA. And it's my hope that I can take some of the lessons that I've learned at Nike and implement them here with Chicago as a goal to get the Chicago Bulls back to relevancy and get that brand back to where it's cool again and kids want to be part of it. You know, that's one of my goals for sure.
Our next question comes from Mike McGraw with the Daily Herald here in Chicago.
Yeah, I was Mark. This is Mike McGraw, Daily Herald. I just want to ask you, you talked about, you know, establishing a winning culture, how important that is. What do you think is the process of going about that? Obviously, starting to win is the one way to do it, but with a really young team that's really low on veterans and low in winning experience like the Bulls have right now, how do you go about building a winning culture?
Sure. You know, one of my mottos is players first. I think you have to create a players first mentality. And I agree with you. You know, we were the second youngest team in the NBA last year. And I really believe it starts with a foundation of player development. Through player development, you know, that's really when we can see what kind of players we have on our roster. You know, I was surprised to find that, you know, there was one player development coach on the staff. You know, as I was doing my research for this job, you know, that's a hell of a job for one person to take on. You know, it's going to be one of my tenets to try and figure out our player development system. You know, there's a lot of key areas within it, you know, skill development, physical development, mental enhancement. But with that, you need to hire people to help support that. So we're going to do, you know, a pretty diligent job in terms of looking for, you know, the proper staff to bring in here to work with our young guys. But player development is going to be a tremendous focus for this organization moving forward.
I love him so much.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
I saw your tweets a little while ago, how you just keep falling in love and how it was one good thing after another. And there it is. That all sounds very, very good. He seems like he's got a pretty good handle for what it is he wants to get fixed right away. And player development is highest on the list, and players come first. And that's exactly what guys like you have been wanting to hear. So that is music to your ears. You finally have come around to believing somebody can win a news conference today. And there it was, a virtual news conference.
Yeah, a virtual Zoom conference. Obviously, actions over words, but that is such a clear, distinct, direct understanding of what the NBA in the 21st century is. Like, yes, he gives you the platitudes of everything starts and stops with winning. Ultimate goal is bring a championship to the city of Chicago, which should be a baseline for any new hire. That's obviously the ultimate goal of pro sports. Relationships move the needle in this business. Juxtapose that with jettisoning coaches, alienating players, having medical staffs fight with players, Derrick Rose, Luol Deng, Joakim Noah, Tom Thibodeau, Vinny Del Negro, like one after the next, after the next, after the next, of people at different levels of the organization having problems with the front office. Get the Bulls brand cool again where kids want to be a part of it. A freaking men.
Get the Chicago Bulls cool again.
Congratulations, Chicago.
Yes, player-first mentality. This isn't the NFL. This isn't a salary cap sport. It's not just the Bill Belichick way. Player-first mentality. Oh, my God. I am in. Mark Eversley, let's go.
You know, before I even got I'm not going to be a yum-yucker, okay? I like it also. But before I even get a chance to react to your overwhelming glee, there's a text with something I want to remind you of, and that is there have been very few occasions where when guys are presented, it is where we haven't fallen in love with them. And a text came in from the 815 before I opened my mouth. We all fell in love with Ryan Pace, too. Pull up the Bernstein audio when Pace was hired after the press conference. There have been very few guys who, when they have that opportunity at first, and we're all excited about change so much, we're going to go into it with a predisposed want to like what he has to say more often than not. Very few times have I felt a guy was... I thought Phil Emery was a little bit of a boob when he kept reflecting on his time as a strength and conditioning coach in one of the service academies, and he kept going to it, and that felt a little bit weird. But even Mark Trestman made
fellow Mark with a C.
Another Mark with a C, yeah. So I
shut up, Tanny.
I hear you. But just keep in mind that often is the occasion, just the fact that it's a fresh voice and he's hit on a few notes that were important to you, and they should be important to you. And maybe the more he talks, the more we'll find out just how back-asswards these Bulls have been operating during John Paxson's tenure. Couldn't believe there was only one person in player development.
That's incredible, by the way.
What exactly was it you say you guys do around here? He does it all. He's going to develop.
He's in charge of developing the bigs, the guards, the physical yes. side, the basketball
They're
skills,
the
and the mental
same.
Side. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. They are just words. Be cautious. All of that stuff. I'm not saying Mark Eversley's bringing a championship to Chicago.
No,
all
run
I
with
saying,
it. If that's how you feel, go with it.
But what I am
first,
saying, though, is...
Danny, don't be a bandwagon guy. Go run with it right now.
It's exciting. It feels modern. It feels current. And, like, people are like, oh, it's the only thing he can say. No, it isn't. Like, he could have come out and been like, the key is... defense and conditioning and push-ups and work ethic and being in at 4 a.m. and being the first one in the gym and the last one to leave. And you either want to be a part of what we're building here or you don't. And organizations win championships. And Jim Boylan is the man for the job. Like, he could have said a lot of things that he didn't say. And so the absence of things to criticize is a good thing. Like, he didn't mess anything up. It felt modern. And yeah, it felt different than Pax. I'll admit, that feels good. It feels good to have someone who's like very clearly player first. I was reading the story about him in The Undefeated. And, you know, he was talking about how he wants to, as a black man in his position, going to a city with a large black population, he wants to get involved with the Obama Foundation and help out and helpfully elevate some people from disadvantaged communities and use his position of power and resource to affect positive change. And he talked about his relationships with Vince Carter, and he's his daughter's godfather, and Steve Nash from Canada when he was doing brand outreach for Nike, and his relationship with Chris Bosh. And I'm like, yes! Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Get the Chicago Bulls cool again.
That's good. That's a lot of recruiting tools. That's good. You're right. That's wonderful to hear those things.
It sounds exactly. And yeah, part of it is confirmation bias. Yeah.
Are you dancing? Or are your hamstrings too sore from the morning stretch?
I'm a great seat dancer, Mac. It's once I stand up and have to use my feet, that's when it becomes a problem.
Only the Bulls. Only the Bulls. Chicago Bulls.
We got to update that song, by the way. Nope. We're going to make them cool again. We got to update the song.
I agree with that, but not as much as they need to operate or change Go Cubs Go, which still has a reference to their games being on WGN, which they haven't been on the radio in several years, and they no longer are on television when we see them next.
Yeah, that could stand to be modernized just a little bit, but hot damn! Mark Eversley, he won the Zoom. Let's go! Yeah. Don't yuck my yum, Tanny. I don't want to hear
Chicago
it.
Chicago Bulls cool again.
Yeah. It's all coming up, Bulls, Mac. The last dance. Yeah.
Texter in the 312 says Garpax had one player development guy. That's shocking malpractice.
It's insane.
I think it is.
It is totally insane, especially when you put it through like Mark Eversley's. Like, he's like, well, I think about player development as skill development on the court, physical development in the weight room, and mental development from like the mental health side of the game. Yeah. They had one.
One.
One. That's crazy.
319 texter says, Parkins, to me, this excitement over the press conference just underlines how much of a clown show the last decade has been.
The bar is low.
Yeah, yes. It is. Well, let's get to what Mark Withersee Eversley has to say about the future of his coach, because I did not listen in on it today, and I've not caught – I saw what you said about it, but I want to – I think it's important for us to get the Jim Boylan thoughts out there.
Sure. Do we have it all, Tanny, or do we need a minute to pull it all together for
yeah,
the
I mean, well, the I news? Mean, could,
yeah, okay. You, we're gonna have it in a minute. It's
okay.
I hear
right.
there's news all over this. I get it. Parkins, you sound like a boob. Listen, man, optimism.
Hey, let the kid be excited. It's something good. What were we saying the other day? These teams don't put up with status quo anymore. Even the Bulls have made changes. That's a reason to celebrate. So, yeah, and I don't mean to throw the dart. I'm not trying to be a wet blanket. I understand the enthusiasm. Those are great. Those are great attributes he brings with him. Great recruiting tools in that list of former NBA players who he's got relationships with. Gonna put more money into it. Gonna get more personnel involved with player development. But I'm just saying, because it's a different voice, he could have read the phone book and we probably would have felt good about it, because
amen.
It isn't the voice of John Paxson or certainly Gar Foreman. And Phil Emery's the only – Terry Bevington, it occurred to me too, but that's not a general manager or a front office guy. That's a field manager who completely made a boob out of himself the first time he was presented as White Sox manager. But, yeah, it doesn't happen often.
Let's hear Mark Eversley on Jim Boylan.
Coach and I did have a conversation earlier in the week where he called to congratulate me on accepting the position. Just like anything else in our staff, we are going to utilize, you know, our time to evaluate everybody on staff, you know, not only players, coaches, but also people in the front office as well. So, you know, I've spoken to Coach. We had a really great conversation, and I'm looking forward to spending time with him in Chicago when we're afforded that opportunity.
I just remember Jim Boylan when he was asked about free agency and attracting guys to his demanding of a system. And he said, we want guys who want to be a part of, like, who want to work and be a part of this and fit into our culture. And if they don't want to fit into our culture, then we don't want them here. Mm. And then you hear Mark Eversley being like, it's got to be a player-first organization, and relationships move the needle. Mm-hmm. Jim Boylan's not the dude, man. Like, he's that's not the guy.
No.
Like, those two things are diametrically opposed. He just didn't want to fire him on his first day. He didn't want to fire him on Zoom. Jim Boylan's up out of here. I am
serious,
very confident
question.
In that.
Is the next time we hear Mark Eversley's voice when he's talking about having shown Jim Boylan the door?
Yeah, probably. That'd be great. That's fine with me. Because, I mean, the only thing that could change that, Mac, is if for some reason when the NBA resumes, they resume it with the regular season.
Yeah, that occurred to me right after I asked you the question. If they're not finished yet, maybe they just ride it out this year. Or maybe
right,
the next time we hear him comment, it will be about the NBA's decision with what it's
correct.
Going to do with the end of the season and whether it's all going to be shelved or recontinued. Or continued, I should say, next fall, and then he'll comment. And then maybe the time after that, we'll hear him talk about showing Jim Boylan his way to the ski slopes.
Well, let's not forget, guys, we'll hear him with Molly and Haw on Monday morning.
Yeah, 8:30.
Sweetness.
Mark Eversley, Molly and Haw.
8:30 Monday morning. Mark it on your calendar. I just did.
We get to do this all over again on Monday, Mac. Or Mark Eversley. Or.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Make the Bulls relevant again. Make them fun again.
Get the Chicago Bulls cool again.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Make them great again. I don't even care. Whatever it takes. Mark Eversley. I am on board. Can I be fan number one of Mark Eversley? Is that allowed? Can I claim that?
I think we've got you down for a thumbs up. Maybe that's not your thumb that's up. But
hello.
Yeah, we got you down for a. I like this guy.
It
I
is
do
a
too.
Feel good Friday over here. This is very exciting. I've been singing. I've been dancing. I've been envisioning the sixth seed. It's all looking up
with dreams of a sixth seed dancing in his head.
It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Get the Chicago Bulls cool again.
I don't know if I like that line, but there is a little truth to it.
So after I hung up with Michael and agreeing that I will call him on Monday morning, I was watching The Last Dance, third and fourth episode. I was so emotional watching it that I was thinking, why do I have to wait until Monday? You know, let me check if he's up, you know. So he responds that he did not get a chance to watch it live, and now they're replaying it again on ESPN. So he's on his couch watching it. It's late, you know, it's around 1 a.m. Eastern time. So I'm doing the same, but now I'm calling him to offer the job while The Last Dance is in the background. So anyway, I thought it was a great moment for me, for Mark, for organization, when we agreed on a deal to make him general manager of the Chicago Bulls while watching that documentary.
I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of this speech.
That's Arturis Karnišovas. And Mac, that right there, as we'll talk to Jim McMahon in a little over 20 minutes, and the Bulls have hired Mark Eversley, and I'm swooning about everything he said at his introductory Zoom conference, the segment yeah. brought to you by True Green. That's the exact type of tie to the 90s Bulls that I like in the 2020 front office. Like, not actual members of the 90s Bulls, but, hey, we hired him when we were watching a documentary about the 90s Bulls. That's right. A perfect level of connection to the 90s.
You're so right. Oh, you are 100% correct. Yeah, that is good stuff to hear him, and he really does have so much of Dr. Charles Nichols in him. I'm in the middle of this speech. I always forget the name of that actor who plays Dr. Nichols. Grody would know if he were here. But, man, that's terrific. Yeah, you're getting everything you want. It's all coming up, Parkins, here on day 23 in the Karnišovas era.
Yes, and day 30 of Scorantine. And I mean, the weather looks nice. We're gonna be golfing this weekend. You caught fish again this morning. It's coming up. You, it's our world, Mac. Everyone else is just living in it.
I caught a fish.
A fish.
Yeah, only one today. But like the everlasting gobstopper, one nice largemouth bass should be enough for anybody, right? Yeah. Well, more tomorrow, maybe. Maybe more Sunday. It is. I love spring. And today, while it's not completely sunny, there's a lot of cloud cover where I'm at right now. It has been glorious temperature-wise. Actually felt almost warm enough to go shirtless today casting for an hour. So that's great. Summer is right around the corner here on the 1st of May. I feel great about that. And I hope you have a blast with your buds on Sunday, and I hope you make a run at happiness on the golf course. Forget breaking 90. Don't worry about the bad shots. Don't worry about those triples that you put on the card. Just have fun. You sometimes get so wrapped up in the result, you fail to smell the roses along the way. Enjoy those remarkable shots you make. That's all I need out of a round of golf. Hell, that round we played last year in Arizona, With the eagle and two birdies. I mean, an eagle and two birdies. So what? I shot 98 or whatever it was. An eagle and two birdies. You can't bust. I didn't care. I mean, those were remarkable memories, those shots. That's all. You got to have a few. They call them B-backers, I think. You'll be back after those.
Absolutely. Listen, my expectations are very low. This is the John Paxson and Gar Foreman of expectations of golf rounds here, okay? Ooh. Like, I am setting the bar exceptionally low for performance. I am just, man, I'm excited to get out there. I'm excited to drive to a course, stretch, be outside, not be on my phone for a few hours, just like be completely detached from everything for a minute. It's going to be great. And would I prefer to be in a foursome and riding in a cart and be able to, you know, pass one back and forth with my buddies and fist pump after a nice putt? Yeah, of course. But like, I'll take whatever I can get. You know, honestly, like it's going to feel like a little bit of normalcy, and that's all I need.
You said, I heard from yesterday in the opening ceremonies, you're only because you have to carry your bag. I don't know if you don't want to go buy a pull cart somewhere, because there are places open where you could purchase one if you wanted to. But
I probably said you should.
Yeah, you should. Because who knows how long this goes. And they're $25, right, for a cheapie? I mean, they're not going to cost you much, if you want. But you said you were going to take six balls. I don't know the course you're playing. Two sleeves of biscuits going to be enough in your first time out? Water? Woods?
Yeah, definitely not. I'll probably take a full 12. That was the most ambitious part of what I said yesterday. Yeah.
Okay, caught you. I don't go out on a golf course that has water in woods without a dozen of them. There's no, what are you going to do? You're on the back end. You just get off 12 and you're out of ball. No thanks. You better pack enough for those errant ones.
I will. The only thing with buying a pull cart is, because you're right, it's not that expensive. I just Googled it. I see $84, $135, $120, whatever it is. This will end eventually. We will be able to go back to carts, riding carts, sooner than later. I mean, Indiana and Wisconsin, you can ride in carts right damn now. So am I so out of shape and so lazy that for the two or three rounds that I'll play before golf carts are reinstituted in the state of Illinois that I need to own my own pull cart? Like, maybe, but as of now, I'm thinking I'm going to try to do it the old-fashioned way and walk.
Okay.
But I might regret
it. I understand. And I guess, you know, carts are hard to find, texters are coming in with, because of the demand for them, and they are more expensive. Parkins just listed a few, and some texters are saying even more than that in some cases. What you could look at as this, however, is a memento for your son when he picks up the game of golf in 7 or 8 years or whenever young Owen wants to start, and he can use the pull cart if you go out, and you know, for the virus of 2050 when he's forced with the same thing, because you know, who knows, what would make anybody think this isn't, you know, this is the last we've seen of something like this.
Oh,
even though it's yeah. So even though it's been 102 years since the Spanish flu, I've been telling people lately, yeah, we deserve this. We were due. History's been way too kind to my generation, your generation, the kids after you. We've really suffered very little tortures of the damned in many decades as Americans. We had 9/11. We had Vietnam, World War II, those things. But it's been a long time since something like this racked us.
So we were due.
We were due.
Is the new way of coping with this?
We were due. We had it coming.
I don't love that. I understand what you're saying.
I've seen so many movies and read so much about things generations gone by had to deal with. You know, the people who had to live through the Depression and everything with World War II. And it's just, we've been very fortunate, you know, and so we get smacked around a little bit. Absolutely zero reason for any damn one, at least not from my end. Nobody I know got a reason to feel sorry for himself during this. We've had a cush existence for a long, long time. I know I have, and I'm grateful for it. So zero feelings of woe is me during this period. I don't care how long it lasts.
These are great days we're living, bros.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Guys hanging out, being dudes. We're not.
Well, there's nothing better than that.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
I think about it like I am very lucky relatively because of got a job, got a spot. It's me, my wife, my son. We are healthy, right? Like if you got an income and you got insurance and you've got the health of the people nearest and dearest to you, that's like your new baseline of satisfaction. But it's okay to still say like some of this sucks. And some of this is hard, and some of this is anxiety-inducing, whether it's for your health or your income or just, like, empathy for the people less fortunate than you. Like, what you're saying is true. Like, in a macro sense, we've had it very good for a long, long time, but not everybody has. And, like, to read these stories about these people and 30 million people on unemployment and all of that, it's like,
I know.
Damn. And I will say also, I am thrilled that the weather is turning, but it's a little scary. Like, May 1st comes, it's when we start to ease the restrictions, 60-something degrees and sunny this weekend. As the restrictions are coming out, we got protests in a couple different places in Chicago and downstate today about opening up the state even more. It is a little scary that people might Russians swing the pendulum the other way with the easing of the social restrictions and the weather coinciding at the exact same time.
I totally feel that. I've experienced it myself. I was absent-minded today and forgot to grab my mask out of the truck and walked into a place of business. I recognized it and didn't go back and get it like an idiot. And it's like, man, you're 100 feet away, idiot. Go get you. And it's all right, I'm here. And it's just,
you will kindly remove your mask.
I had removed my mask. And I just, you know, and hardly anybody in the store I was in was wearing one. And I that's stupid. Just don't, you know, and I don't know if I'm feeling some sense of security because it's been so long or whatever. But, yeah, wear your mask.
So that's the only thing I would say back to you. Is, you know, it's just, we'll see. Like, hopefully this isn't two steps forward, one step back, and, you know, all that progress not being linear and all of that stuff. But, yeah, I will say it feels good. See the sun, have plans to do something social. It feels good. And I hope I'm not being, like, selfish about it. And, you know, Steph's telling me you got to be very careful and be sure you're doing all the social distancing. You're still coming home to an infant and all that. And I plan to be. But it's I think it's necessary. Well, I think it's necessary for me to get out there a little bit and walk around and get some fresh air.
I've got a unique perspective here, you know, coming downtown every day. I can kind of get a sense of when things are maybe going in a bad direction. But I will say downtown today, it's similar to how it's been the past couple of weeks. So pretty quiet down here. People are following the rules. Like, it was no problem getting in again, get nice speeds in the express lane going down 94. So
yeah.
People are doing all right, I think. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
Good. Well, yeah, the traffic part, if you've had to go somewhere, that has been spectacular, but it's
amazing. Like, if you like foods, like, you know, that are on the south or west side and you live on the opposite side of town, you can get there pretty quickly and have all the foods that you like having that you normally couldn't because of traffic.
Running. Yeah. Yeah, I got home from the city the other day in about 27 minutes. Yeehaw!
I will say, we are fortunate to be able to look at some of those positives because the reason there's no traffic is because people aren't working. Like that is the reality of it. I hate to be the wet blanket here, but man, so many people are having such terrible and hard times right now. Twofold, right? Health and economic. That it's hard to divorce yourself from those thoughts. You turn on the news, local or national, every day. It is still the only story being covered.
Yes.
It's the only thing going on. So, like, we're still a ways away from this thing being over. But as I talk out of both sides of my mouth, I also recognize that the governor has eased the restrictions a little bit, and they're hopefully going to continue in that direction. And I am golfing on Sunday, so I'm thrilled about that. Like, it's a balancing act of acknowledging the good and the bad.
Yes, and, you know, we be responsible. We got to feel good about that, and just, I'm sure you will be. Yes, people are playing golf today in Illinois, and we want to celebrate that. We want to give away some golf. For those of you, we're going to reward those of you, a couple of listeners, hopefully, who spend a lot of time with us during, I guess, the 4 o'clock hour today is when we have it scheduled for. If you've been listening during these 6 weeks of coronavirus where we've been under quarantine, as Danny dubbed it right out of the gate, then you have a real good chance of getting rewarded. We'll ask a few questions of you, of things that have been said, guests who have been on the show over the last 6 weeks, and if you knock down 2 out of 3 questions, we're going to set up you and a buddy to have breakfast or lunch, depending on when we do it, and we will take you to one of our 5-star courses. We got Strawberry Creek in southern Wisconsin. If you're up that way, if you want to play in the western suburbs, we've got courses there too, like Seven Bridges in Woodridge. So we'll do that during the 4 o'clock hour. It's our way of giving a little back and giving us something to look forward to as well, getting out and playing golf with you guys who are with us every day. And maybe Bill Walton breakfast will be included.
Who knows? Starting at 4 o'clock. If you've been listening during the quarantine and you'd like to golf with Mac and I, it's all our treat. Be tuned in starting at 4 o'clock, and we'll help you out. I mean, we want to get some positivity going again before Jim McMahon at 3. Should we just replay Mark Eversley?
That's one thing you could do. Or you could, if you want positivity, you could play anything that Lawrence Holmes asked Mark Grody about today regarding the Bears
Oh really? I did
God.
Not hear it.
Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl was just blubbering about everything the Bears have done. He loves anything and everybody. He's very optimistic, it sounds like. And that's okay. I'm sure he honestly feels that way, but he gave glowing reports on Jalen Johnson. He's excited about the safety they picked up yesterday, Tashaun Gipson.
I'm in London still.
He's got lots of love out there for new Bears. He's Mark Grody, Moby Dick.
As I see it, the Bears right now are 8 or 9 wins. And then it either goes up or down based on the play of the quarterback. But I think that their defense, their coaching, their schedule, how veteran of a team they are, continuity of scheme on both sides of the ball should have them at slightly above league average. And then,
way to go, Ryan Pace.
And then if Nick Foles has a good version of his season and they are healthy, they could win 11 games. If he has the I got benched for Gardner Minshew version of his season and they have some tough luck injuries to key players where they don't have a lot of depth, Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Allen Robinson, guys like that, then it's a 6 or 7 win season. Like I think they're in that huge middle class that is the NFL.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. We saw what happened last year when Akeem Hicks went down, and then when Trevathan was lost, it just tumbled from there. So hopefully they have reasonable health. They were very blessed from that standpoint the previous year when they won 12 games before getting knocked out by the Eagles. Last year, not the case. It was more of a typical year. I don't know if it was radically more than a typical year, but you lost one of your best defensive players in Akeem Hicks. Hopefully the big fella stays healthy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't as bad as the last 2 years under John Fox where they led the league in starters games missed and players on IR, right? They were the most injured team in the league 2 years in a row, and then they had the charmed season in Matt Nagy's first year where they were nobody got hurt. For the most part, and no big season-ending injuries anyway. And then the next year, it was more of a normal NFL season, and we'll see. There's a ton of luck involved in those two factors, right? There's a ton of luck involved in turnover differential, and there's a ton of luck involved in injury. And when you don't have a world-class quarterback, that's a huge variable in what you're going to do. If you've got Pat Mahomes, Rodgers in his prime, Brady or whatever, you can overcome a lot of injuries. You can overcome some bad luck. If you don't, you require a little bit more of luck in those two categories.
Yeah, that's right. And we know how many people have played the quarterback position for the Bears since they last won a championship. Anytime they play the Packers, we're reminded of that. They went from Favre to Rodgers. So we see all those names. Of all the guys who have played quarterback for the Chicago Bears, only one of them can say he is a Super Bowl champion. Jim McMahon is going to join us in about 6-7 minutes.
I cannot wait. Your first time talking to him since Mac Yurko and Harry, my first time ever. The Punky QB, Jim McMahon, for Score Stories. Next, Mac and Parkins on the Score.